Good morning and welcome to number 9 in a series of audio explorations into the question, how do you get elected to the Irish Parliament, the Dáil? I'm back in Glanmire in Cafe Beva. Across the table from me is the Irish Labour Party candidate for Cork North Central constituency. His name is John Gilroy. And I'm going to ask John Gilroy to say good morning to us before I get on and ask him a few searching questions.
Morning, Paul.
John, look, good morning. The one topic that's on everybody's mind here in Ireland is Micheál Martin. So, we've talked about all sorts of topics. This is the first time I want you to focus on a particular individual. I want to hear your view on what is going on in Irish national politics. Now, just in by way of background, the Minister for Foreign Affairs, Micheál Martin, member of the Cabinet, has just announced that he is in effect going to challenge Brian Cowan for leadership of the Fianna Fáil party, and that's the schmuzzle that's going on at the moment. So, John Gilroy, what's your view on what's going on?
Paul, I've a great number of views on it. First, I have to say that I generally don't criticise my political opponents. I make it a rule. But I suppose the circumstances that are in it would allow me to break that rule for once.
You can go for the jugular now. You can go for the jugular. What's your view on what's going on?
I think I can, Paul. Anything I'm likely to say is unlikely to be complimentary towards either of the principals. This is a farce, Paul. It's absolutely never seen such a badly handed heave against a leader. Micheál, and I know Micheál Martin well, he's a Cork politician and I know him rather well, different party thank God, he's a good fella and he's a nice fella, but Micheál has been struck with eternal indecisiveness, Paul. Micheál just can't make up his mind. He mishandled this coup, or attempted coup. He offered his resignation to the Taoiseach because he doesn't have any confidence in him, and yet when the Taoiseach says, Micheál, I don't think you should resign, Micheál, in traditional form, says, that's fair enough, I won't resign. So here is a minister with no confidence in his leader who continues to hold a senior ministerial post in foreign affairs. This is crazy stuff, Paul.
So you think that your view is that Micheál Martin, as soon as Brian Cowan said, I do not accept your resignation, Micheál Martin said, you should have put his hand on the table and said, look, Brian, you don't accept my resignation, but you have no choice, I'm walking.
Well, the thing about Paul is, why would you ring up your opponent? The normal way this is done, Paul, you'd write a letter of resignation and it'd arrive on the Taoiseach's desk and he'd have no choice, only accept it. I mean, it's strategically and tactically, from Micheál's point of view, this is a disaster. Micheál was, years ago under Bertie Ahern, he acquired the moniker, Paul, of the former future leader. Everyone was saying that Micheál was the future leader, and his indecisiveness at the time when it came to Bertie Ahern, he acquired that name as the former future leader. There's something in that, Paul. We used to think it was a joke, but Micheál, he just does not have the decisiveness. He was in the Department of Health for about 6 years, and during that time, not a single meaningful decision was made apart from the smoking ban, which we'll give him, is a very, very innovative thing.
You mean Micheál Martin is responsible for the fact that Ireland took the lead in Europe, perhaps in the world, in banning smoking in public, in pubs and public places? Is that his one claim to fame?
That's a claim to fame, and it's a very good claim to fame, Paul. That really is a very beneficial thing. He did take the initiative on it, and we were the first country in the world to introduce such a ban, so we'll give him that. But I fail to see any other real difference that Micheál made in any of the departments that he was in. There's a story told that there was 139 major decisions to be made in health during his time there, and what did he do? He called for 139 reports. So this is to the man's indecisiveness. He's a good guy and he's a decent guy, but it's well known.
Now, hang on a minute. What's wrong with calling for reports? Now, surely if you call for reports, you give people jobs to do.
Well, I suppose, Paul, being the Minister for Health is a little bit more important than just employing your consultant friends. It's grand to call for a report, but let's implement recommendations of the report. Unfortunately, in Micheál's time, not a single recommendation was implemented. So, look, I don't want to labour the point too much. It's just to say that Micheál has acquired over the years a reputation for being indecisive, and I think that reputation has been well and truly earned if we look at the events of the weekend.
Okay, right. Well, look, enough about Micheál Martin, enough about Fianna Fáil. Now, look, let's have some information about what John Gilroy has been doing in the last week to help his campaign to get elected. John, have you been sitting on your hands or have you been busy?
No, we've been very busy, Paul. We'll work backwards. Yesterday I was in Dublin. The Labour Party were having a get-together, is the best way to describe it, of all new candidates for the Dáil election under our Director of Elections, Rory Quinn. We spent the entire morning at it with some media training, I suppose, media advice in the morning.
How many of you were there?
Oh, there was about 50 people, of which maybe 30 of them were candidates and the others were directors of elections or election agents. It was in our new headquarters, which is in Latin Hall, it's called. It's off Great Georgia Street, Paul. It's a bit of a mouthful. Fantastic place, very modern, nice modern building, and it's a hive of activity yesterday. I was amazed to see that all our Labour Party staff were at work yesterday on a Sunday. So the Labour Party are really gearing up and taking this challenge very seriously indeed.
And what's this about media training? Who did media training with you, or was that just a general phrase?
A general discussion about me, about training with Eamon Keane. He's from Today FM. Was just giving some media tips. It wasn't training, I suppose, as such. It was really techniques of how you would prepare yourself ahead of an interview. Perhaps I haven't learned it so well, Paul.
No. Give me one of the tips you picked up yesterday, one that stuck in your mind from yesterday, even if you knew it already. Share with us something.
Paul, the one thing really that came out of this was composure in front of the mic. You're asked a question, take a moment to reflect upon what answer you're going to give before you lash off into some sort of monologue that might or might not be relevant to the question that's asked. That's probably the key to all methods of communication is take your time, reflect.
Okay, composure and reflect. Right, okay. Go back in. What else have you been doing?
Okay, Saturday we were canvassing, Paul, in the Mayfield area, knocking at doors. Got a fantastic response. We had a good team of people out. We had 14 people out with us on Saturday afternoon.
14 people?
Yeah.
Where did you get 14 people to go canvassing on a Saturday afternoon?
Well, I'm lucky, Paul. I'm very lucky in the fact that I have a very good team. The number of people who have offered to help me is unbelievable. Normally, in politics, Paul, you know, you have to press gang people into helping you in normal times. But these are not normal times when people are very, very annoyed. And people are ringing me maybe at the rate of two or three every week saying, look, John, I'll give you a hand maybe for an hour a week or 2 hours a week or 3 hours or whatever would suit them. So we were just kicking off the canvassing element of it. Parts of Cork City I mightn't be as well known as here in the county, for instance. So what we've been doing, generally speaking, is delivering literature to create awareness of my name and face. And we think we've achieved that to the level that we can achieve it.
So is the first step to drop literature in the door and the next step to go knock on the door? Is that the way it works?
That's exactly it, Paul. I mean, there's no point in knocking at the doors when people don't know you, because, first of all, it isn't fair on people. People do need to have some impression of who their candidates are so that they can fully ask questions of them. Instead of arriving blind at the door, cold calling, if you like, explaining who you are, people are always very polite. But generally are unprepared.
And John, how many, this literature that comes in the door, and I get it too, how much of it goes straight in the bin and how much of it is actually, read by people?
The life expectancy of the literature that goes through the door, Paul, is as long as it would take you to walk from your door to your bin. So about 5 seconds maybe is the life expectancy of it. And
so if 5 seconds is the life expectancy, why do you politicians produce it?
But Paul, why do major companies do literature drops? This is about, I suppose, if we were to look at it in market terms, this is about branding. The literature is designed in a manner which 5 seconds is sufficient to glean the information from it. Research from the UK, there's not much research done in Ireland about it, but from the UK shows that only 3% of people read political literature from front to back. So, I mean, for every 100 pieces of literature put in the door, only 3 people are reading it, so there's a diminishing return on that.
So you're out there with 14 people canvassing on Saturday, right? We'll come back to canvassing on another day, the details of it and how you get on at the door, and you can tell us more about that. But what else have you been doing? Tell us more about what else you've been doing.
Friday night we had our weekly strategy meeting of my policy people, my strategy people.
How many were there?
6. What we do is 6 of myself. What we do is review.
Where did you meet?
We met in my house. That's a great place to meet. Why not? We review the work of the week just passed, and we plan forward for the week to come. It's a good idea to do that, Paul, because you do need to keep a structure to a campaign. Campaigns are often very fast moving, as we see with the leadership team in Fianna Fáil, that could have had and might yet trigger a general election in a very immediately. So you need to be on your toes, looking at the date, the likely date of an election, which we think is going to take place now on the 31st of March, is the date that's crystallising, although I think it could be later.
Hey, Tommy, could I come along some Friday night just to be a fly on the wall? Not to record, because I think that would be inhibiting, but just for my own education, could I actually come and listen in?
As far as I'm concerned, you could, Paul, but we'll have to run that one by my Director of Elections. He's a tyrant, Paul, and by their nature, they must be. So we'll have to run that by the director.
That's fine. Go. Okay, one last thing. Tell me one more thing. Okay, that's enough about what you've been doing, right? We're 10 minutes into the interview now, so we're going to wrap up. So tell me one more thing you think would help people to understand about the effort to get elected now, John.
The campaigns, Paul, like we just said, they're unpredictable. They're notorious for their monotony, because there are certain things that you just do, like delivering literature, Paul. Delivering literature is one of the key things to be doing. It's mind-numbing for most people to spend unlimited hours walking house to house putting literature through the doors. We're doing that again this week, every morning. In the afternoons now, we're upping the pace and the tempo. In the afternoons, we're going canvassing in the city, and in the evenings, we'll be canvassing in the city as well. So the team will be called on now to really put in a big effort for the next couple of weeks. Some people love canvassing, other people hate the thoughts of canvassing, but I can absolutely assure you, Paul, once people come out canvassing, there's great crack, you know.
John Gilroy, I want to thank you very much for this insight into what you've been doing to try to get elected here in Cork North Central constituency. Thank you very much for that interview.
Thanks, Paul. Thanks very much.